Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Ya Allah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you exclusively from the airwaves of Marcus Sahaba, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 24th of Jumad al-Ula, 1447, corresponding with the 15th of November, 2025. Alhamdulillah, we have just completed our segment on Palestine. We will now, inshallah, get on with our next segment, which is called Builder-ji, and our guest for this segment, which revolves around DIY mainly, do it yourself. And thereafter, we discuss fishing, we discuss gardening, we also discuss food at times. So let us get on with this segment. With our brother Ibrahim Yusuf Salaji. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Ibrahim.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. How is the weather in your part of the world, although you're not very far? We're in the same city, but of course it is considered distant by us.
100%, you know, it's a bit overcast, you know, the weather's changing so much, and I've come down with such a major flu. So, you know, the change of conditions, the change of weather, and also expected rains over this weekend, which our listeners should take precautions over, because excessive rains could become a problem, and they need to make sure that the gutters are clean. They need to make sure that the drains are unblocked, there's nothing inhibiting further progress of the water coming out. So looking at the conditions, it's just an early warning, and I can give some hints and tips and advices if you want to be used to that.
I read about that in the, you know, weather forecast, that we should be expecting some very heavy rains in KZN between today and Monday. So most certainly some tips regarding on how to avoid disasters would be very valuable.
You know, my first advice I got was a harsh reality that I have faced. You know, within myself, you know, I thought, you know, everything is fine, but I didn't check. And it led me to have my entire home flooded because my gutters were blocked up with the leaves. Now it's mango season. You know, different leaves are coming off your trees and things like that. So when the drains are blocked, you know, the water needs to reroute somewhere else. So that's the first thing that we need to look at, is definitely your drainage. The second is you need to have an emergency option. So a nice thing that I do suggest is tarpaulin, just plain old tarpaulin. Because when it's raining, you can't put any waterproofing material on. You cannot allow it to dry. But just say there is some part that's broken, a window that's come loose, and you put a piece of tarpaulin. So in every home, there should be some tarpaulin available. Those are the basic things, you know, check around your windows, check. And this is a perfect time for you to observe your house. So next time maintenance is needed, you know, exactly pinpoint location of where the possible problems are.
Jazakallah for that. Most certainly, you know, we have to prepare, especially when we already have information of what's to come, to avoid any kind of disaster. Now, with our DIY, I know one of your favorite projects is the lighting project. Can you discuss this lighting project with us?
So the reason why, you know, the lighting project is one of my favorite is I have partnered up with a company called Flash Lighting in Cape Town. Now, what they offer that most companies don't offer is they offer an education part of it as well. So you are educated in what you are buying and what is a correct product to buy and where you can save money. So I have partnership. So I have a little bit of history with flashlighting. He is the key accounts manager at the moment, Pearson, and I go back a long way. So when I started into the hardware game, he was also just calling on to me. And we were basically both green, we were both naive, and we were learning together. And when he got to a final position of being one of the big boys of flashlighting, I was then, you know, selected and chosen, and I took on the role of educate. Okay, 100%. So I have partnered up with flashlighting. These guys are on a mission to educate the public more about lighting. I was dealing with Pearson from the time I entered into hardware, and he's now offered me this opportunity to grow with flashlighting, educating my staff first, myself, and then after that, the rest of the public. Now, when dealing with project lighting, they have separated their lighting into a variety of different segments to make it a little bit more palatable and easier for people to understand. So I use the opportunity to deal with different books. In this episode that you are talking about, we discuss, you know, project lighting. But project lighting doesn't necessarily have to be for a major project. It can be for your home. It talks about LED strip lights. Now, everybody looks at, you know, strip lights. You know, you see stuff on the internet and you want to copy the same thing at your home. Just yesterday, I was dealing with somebody who said he went to the Drakensberg and he saw something there and he wanted to recreate it. Now, flashlighting is allowing you the opportunity to learn more and use the correct product for the correct applications. So in the episode that we did discuss last one, with linear profiles meaning your housing for your LED strip lights, you know, it just showed you how you can use it, where you can use it, and the benefits of actually using that particular technology. And coming up in the next week, I have such exciting news. We're learning more about solar now. I know in the past we discussed solar a little bit, but we get down to a little bit more technicality part of it, where you learn what is a battery, different types of batteries, and the purposes of you know, solar. And also when choosing something small in solar, like a solar floodlight for your house, how do you put it? Where do you put it? And what to expect from it. So quite exciting news ahead with flash lighting and obviously with me.
Okay, our next thing is galvanizing. We know you get heated or hot galvanizing and cold galvanizing. Can you tell us something about cold galvanizing? Or in fact, start by telling us what is galvanizing, why is it important to galvanize, and then cold galvanizing, what is cold galvanizing, how it works, etc.
Okay, so galvanizing is basically, if you want to just summarize it, it's a process where we apply zinc, some form of zinc, onto your metal in order to prevent rusting. Now, rust, living closer to the ocean, I make a joke about it all the time. I say even stainless steel will rust over here. So your gates, your burglar guards, you know, anything that's metal, car ports, it will rust in a little while. So what we do is to provide you with a thicker layer of zinc coating of some sort. That is the whole process of galvanizing. Now, galvanizing in the past was quite difficult because you would need to send the thing off to galvanizers, and you know, it was a big process and it got pretty expensive as well. So what we do have is two forms of galvanizing. One is cold galvanizing and one is hot dip galvanizing. Now I'm going to talk first about cold galvanizing because I'm more comfortable with that particular subject, because it's something made for DIY, which is the whole purpose of the show. You do it yourself. Now with cold galvanizing, you get it in a spray form. Now let's talk about spray form first. The benefit spray cold galvanizing is it could go in any tiny groove. So, you know, nitty gritty, it will go into any of these curves or tight hidden spots. The second benefit of it, it will give you a smooth finish. You know, you won't see any brush streak lines. Quite a good option. However, every product will have a disadvantage as well. The disadvantage is because it's coming out of a nozzle, the product goes on very, very thin. And the second disadvantage is it is quite a bit of wastage, because with the spray, you know, if you don't mask up the area, you can mess and you can waste quite a bit. So that's the spray version of it. Then you also get the paint-on version of it. Now, on a separate factor, that particular product builds up pressure in your shop. So when you are opening that tin up at your house, please keep your face away from opening it up, and opening it up slowly to make a small popping noise, and then you can paint with it. Now, using a brush on application.
So it is like opening a bottle of Coke.
A bit more aggressive than a Coke. It sounds like almost sometimes like a firecracker goes off.
Okay.
It's quite cool and scary at the same time. The first time I did it, I nearly passed out because I didn't expect such a loud noise, and nobody advised me that zinc gets pressurized in a tin. So the brush on application is quite something that I quite enjoy, because it can do much bigger areas, and you can apply it quite thick as well. But obviously, disadvantage is you can sometimes see the streak line. Also, it's a bit expensive. I would say quite a bit expensive, more than the brush on application. And you can't go into very tiny spots. You're going to end up leaving bubbles all over. So that's dealing with cold galvanizing. With hot dip galvanizing, you can't do it at home. It needs to be sent to a galvanizer, so price factor becomes an issue. And where they dip it into molten zinc. Smaller things might be a problem, and just price factor completely. But the effect of it coming out when you send it is quite amazing. It's quite smooth.
Something that I have read about this coal galvanizing is this process ensures that even if the coating is scratched or damaged, the exposed steel remains protected as long as the surrounding zinc is in electrical contact and continues to corrode in its place. So,
Imagine itself, you broke up half of that question. I think the exact half of it. The beauty part of the thing here of using the zinc and you can limit the rust. Easier to touch, eventually forms as well.
Another advantage that I've read about this is with some. If you cold galvanize something and there is some damage, all you have to do at home with a brush, you can just apply more of this solution. While with hot galvanizing, you have to send it back to whoever did it originally. Is this true?
That is correct. What we do suggest. That's why in hardware stores, we so actively promote the use of cold galvanizing. It's basically a DIY solution. It doesn't require so much of headache. This can be done also while the product is attached to your walls. So if your gauge is rusting, remember, with rust is such a large topic. Before you put your zinc primers and everything, I always do suggest you clean up the bit of metal. Make the job easier of every product. So if you want to talk about rust as well, because rust is such an extensive topic to discuss, I have just a couple of minutes left in the show, and I want to talk about so much more. Because the most important purpose, or the reason why people put galvanizing, is for rust. And what happens if you have rust there already? Are you going to put this directly onto that, or are you putting this onto new metal? So all of these are considering factors that you need to consider before purchasing a product. Now, if you have existing rust material, my personal opinion is to basically clean that or sort it out before you start putting your galvanizing primers on over there. Now, the reason being is rust is like a cancer. It spreads very rapidly, and you want to deal with the problem first. With regards to a rust treatment, there's two products. One is a rust cleaner, so such as Deoxygene or Rustmate. Or you also get Rust Reaper. Now, this is basically like an acid wash that you use to clean off just surface rust. And you also get a product called Rust Converter. Now, most people are comfortable with Rust Converter. It's something that they know quite well about. And it's when you brush it on rust, it turns black. So it balances out your pH level and allows you to put your anti-rust primer and top coat.
Okay. Can you tell us how long does this thing last? You know, the lifespan of this zinc.
You know, they give you all your suggested lifetime that it can last. But I still don't believe what they do say. I say that each factor is different based on the layers you put on and, you know, the different methods that you have used and your surface preparation will all make an important factor. Like, for instance, you know, they tell you anti-rust paint will last you 8 years. I've seen that thing last 2 years. A mistake on preparation, you know, like big film layer. So these people give you your however many years it's going to last. They're giving you under lab conditions, which can become a problem because, you know, you're assuming you get this particular life out of it. But in fact, it doesn't, because the first part you think the product might be failing is you'll start to see surface oxidization where in the top of your galvanizing turns green or discolored, and you think that's rust starting to form when in fact it's just a layer on top of that there. So yeah, I don't, with particular in paint and these things, I don't like to personally give a guarantee how long it's going to last because there's too many determining factors.
What is the cost, you know, of a container of this coal galvanizer, and how big is the container?
So you get a spray version of it. Now, the spray version can go between 99 rand and it can go under to 299 rand. So it just depends on the different brands that you're buying from. The Blue Devil one is something I'm quite... you know, fanatic about. I've used this thing quite nicely. It's about 125 rand for a can. It's about a 300 ml can. And you know what? It works so well. I'm quite pleased with the results of that one. However, we do also have, you know, the tin version of it. So the half liters and the 1 liter, you're getting it for 299 and 550 rand respectively. So yeah, just depends on the brand you're buying it from, but you'll see, you know, something really cool about this paint is the weight. You know, 1 liter of a normal paint versus 1 liter of this galvanizing paint, the weight rating is so much more on the galvanizing. So it's quite a cool factor as well. So when choosing the correct zinc galvanizing, make sure you feel that heavy weight on the paint itself to know that you are getting you know, your full 90% zinc-rich primer in it.
Okay, Jazakallah for that information. So at least that was really valuable information, because most people are under the impression to galvanize their fencing, their gates, the burglar guards, because this is what this galvanizer is used for more often than not. So, most people are sending it out to galvanizers, and probably they are being overcharged also. So, this coal galvanizing is something that is really good for those who are, you know, very keen on DIY. Now, the next thing is, what is IP65? I know it's to do with lighting, but could you just shed some light on this?
Fantastic. So we are now learning about ingress protection. My training has taken me over to ingress protection IP rating. And I did quite a video that got so much of reactions where, again, I was putting a hose pipe over my light fitting, my flash light fitting outside my home. And the people are curious, like, what is wrong with you? What are you trying to tell us with regards to what you're doing? So I told them that on your box of, on the packaging on these items, it's supposed to have an IP rating. Now, the word IP stands for ingress protection. Ingress protection, the first digit means protection against solid, and the second digit means protection against liquid. Now, the higher the number, the more protection it would have against these elements. So having a product such as IP20 would refer to a product that is used inside your house. So you don't want to buy an IP20 product for inside your house and then use it outside. You're going to cause a short in a circuit. It's not designed to take it. Now, an IP with 54 and upwards is designed for outside. Now, the higher the number, the more protection it would have against the element. Now, being 65 or 67, as regards to the question, meaning that it can take, it's totally dustproof and it can take water. So my hose pipe running on top of the light fitting wouldn't allow any water to come into the light fitting itself. And so, like right now, a typical example is we're going to have the rain that is coming in. You still want your house to be light and bright. So, yeah, 100%, you know, learning about IP protection, ingress protection, just shows you how to choose correct items and the correct lights.
Okay. We don't have very much time. I think only about a minute. There was other issues that I wanted to discuss because we... you know, not doing any fishing or gardening or anything at the moment. But inshallah, we will discuss that and a more detailed talk on rust next week would be very good because, you know, especially those of us that are living in Durban, because of the weather conditions, rust is something that really attacks us more than people living inland and even... Some people say those living along the Atlantic coast don't experience rust the way those of us living on the coast of the Indian Ocean. So, inshallah, next week we could discuss those issues. Once again, Jazakumullah khair al jaza for the valuable information that you give us every week and the valuable time as a businessman. It's even more valuable because Saturdays, a lot of people are off work and most of them do particularly hardware shopping on a Saturday, the DIY people. Yes, the people who are into construction, they do it every day. So this is an extremely valuable time for you and we appreciate that. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you in this world and in the hereafter for your valuable contribution. Until next week, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.